Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Stola First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. I'm Leslie. Today's episode of... Okay, hold on. One moment. Happy Pride Month. Now that that's over, today's episode of Typically Tuesdays is a slightly different one. Normally... I do like to cut up the talking portions with music on the show, and today it is not gonna be that way. Today might be just an incredibly talk heavy episode because I have been thinking about today's topic so much in the past 24 hours. And it really genuinely would not be this way if not for the things that I have learned about this topic that I learned within the past 24 hours. But now I've just been it's like a bad rotisserie chicken. I've been turning that bird over and over and over and over in my brain until it's no longer juicy, no longer succulent. It is just dry and tastes bad. But I can't throw out the bird because, I have no backup plan for today's show. And instead, what we're going to do is something that I personally am not... I don't like to do this type of show where basically I'm going to be taking a big swig of Haterade. And that's just going to be most if not the whole thing on the show today. Maybe I'll give you a little bit of reprieve. There will be music in the background. But other than that, maybe not, because, one, this is my show, two, I do what I want, and three, man, it's really complicated in many ways, actually. Here's the deal, here's what it is. Several weeks ago, I found out about To Get Her, which by itself sounds like a threat, sounds wild, and unsavory, but it's actually the English name of the latest, hottest, new Korean reality dating series, whose Korean title is called Your Love, a lot nicer to hear. And it is Korea's first ever women loving women reality dating program. And when I heard about that, I was like, oh my god, I've been searching for this for so long. To see other East Asian sapphics find love in this weird kind of entertainment format that normally I don't care about at all, but has enticed me. That's so exciting. And what made it, you know, even more exciting was the fact that this program has actually gained what I understand to be quite a bit of mainstream popularity. At first, I was kind of actually on the fence about watching the show. I had learned about this, like, kind of scandal that went on, and it made me feel kind of, like, icky thinking about watching the program. And then also the episodes were just so long. But put a pin in both of those things, because I'm going to return back to them. But when I found out that the cast was being given, like, full, like, magazine spreads in mainstream publications, like Cosmopolitan Korea, I was like, oh, okay, I've kind of seen this before, you know, the cast of The Boyfriend on Netflix Japan, which I previously talked about, they have also had also been gaining a lot of popularity. They also received, like, a lot of really great, like, attention in mainstream cosmetics and beauty publications, as well as fashion publications, and it just seemed like what I saw with the aftermath for The Boyfriend, which was this, like, really excited embracing of these queer men who were on people's televisions, maybe that kind of a similar thing was happening in Korea for these queer women. You know, as an East Asian lesbian in the diaspora, I'm always really excited to see people on the continent, like queer people on the continent, be celebrated and embraced. I know it is not exactly, it does not have the greater political impact that, like, actually, like, having material change would make, but it is a little bit heartening to me to see that maybe attitudes around queer people are changing back on the continent. You know, that there could be this newer generation of people who aren't going to have to experience the same types of, like, ostracization and fear that people who are around my age or older have had to experience from their families and friends and loved ones. So that attention and love that the cast of To Get Her were getting, I hate the title, were getting, it sounds like a threat, were getting, made me kind of, like, lock in, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I am going to watch this show, and I want to talk about it on Typically Tuesdays, because that's really exciting to be able to talk about maybe, like, attitudes changing on the continent about queer people. And then I ended up watching the series throughout this week, or last week, I guess, and then I've learned about some things that were even more wild in some cases than the scandal that I had previously found out about, and I was like, what am I going to do about this show? I don't have a backup plan, and I could make a backup plan, like I could just do Music Monday, but those things that were, like, so unsavory that made me legitimately consult not one but two cisgender heterosexuals about what I should do about this plan for today's episode of Typically Tuesdays, because they were so unsavory that I had to take, I just had to reframe and strategize. So today's episode of the show, thanks to the advice of my dear cisgender heterosexual friends, shout out to Sam, shout out to Brianne. Today's episode of Typically Tuesdays is a cautionary tale, which is why it is nuanced. It is complex in the way that Typically Tuesdays often is, and it is, it's going to be one that hopefully I can make feel light, because I'll just be upset throughout the whole thing. And I don't know, sometimes I think angry people are kind of humorous. Maybe, again, I'll give you a little bit of reprieve and there'll be music in the background and whatnot. Anyways, today's episode is about my review of To Get Her, the Korean reality dating series starring women who love women. It is the country's first ever sapphic reality dating series. It became very, very popular, even amongst mainstream audiences. And in my opinion, the production history and the aftermath of this program is a cautionary tale. If you are a person who works in the entertainment industry and you are going to produce reality television programs or web series, whatever it may be, take this episode into consideration. This episode of Typically Tuesdays is also actually going to have some content warnings. I am going to be talking about, and this is a long list, so write it down, age gap relationships, as in relationships with big age gaps, anti-sex work rhetoric, bullying, mental health issues, gaslighting and manipulation, love bombing, internalized lesbophobia, and intimate partner violence. If any of that is upsetting to you, please tune into next week's episode of Typically Tuesdays, or catch one of our previous episodes up on the archive right now at cjsf.ca, and I'll catch you some other time. But if you're still around, yeah, let's talk about To Get Her. The first thing that was upsetting to me when I started watching this show, okay, let's talk about the content of the show first, because you know, that's kind of important. Number one, the subtitles that are available for people who are pirating the series, ahoy, they're bad. They are AI subtitles, and it can be kind of difficult to understand some of the stuff that the cast members are talking about, because they're using, like, you know, slang and metaphors and you know, sentence structures that the English AI machine can't keep up with. And so some of the times when I was watching the show, it was genuinely kind of hard to follow, and it made me really wish that people valued fan subs more. You remember fan subs? Oh my god, I could talk about fan subbing all day. But the subtitles are not all that good, in my opinion. Before I get into the nitty-gritty of it all, though, I'm gonna share a little PSA with you to lighten the mood before we get into the darkness. Here's a bird note.
This is bird note. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's from William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, referring to Romeo's family name not mattering to Juliet, only her love and desire for him. And sure, names are conventions, right? But some names contain something special. A bird. For example, the name Paloma comes from the colloquial name in Spanish for the common pigeon, but as a human name, it often refers to doves. Or take Garzón. My last name. It's derived from garza, or heron, in Spanish. Another example is the last name Sokolov, like the one from the Russian-Canadian author Sasha Sokolov. It's derived from sokol, or falcon, in Russian. In the US, Tori could be short for Victoria, but in Japanese, it means bird. And then there's bird-inspired nicknames. Saxophonist Charlie Parker, the American jazz legend, was also known as Yardbird or Bird. Some of his song titles reference the nickname, like the Yardbird Suite, Bird Gets the Worm, Bird of Paradise, and Ornithology. Names are important, and some of them carry a special legacy, that of a bird. The show is also available in Español. Visit our website, birdnote.org, to learn more. I'm Camilo Herring. I'm Camilo Garzón.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie. This episode is a lot. I'm talking about the Korean sapphic dating reality series called To Get Her. I know it sounds like a threat. It's not. It's just unconventionally named. This episode is a little bit unlike what I usually do here, which is going to be mostly ranting, because I'm not saying that I'm trying it something new, but I just had to, my brain. Oh, and just in case I didn't really make it clear already, I don't think that you should watch this program. Like, on Typically Tuesdays, in the years that we've done this show, like, I have kind of developed into the mindset of, like, I'm gonna share thoughts with you, I'm gonna make my case, and then it's really up to you. I'm not gonna, like, punish you, I'm not gonna, like, you know, reprimand you or anything like that, but I'm gonna make my case for something, and you, with your brain, you can figure it out, whether or not I make a convincing argument. I truly do not think that you should watch this show. So it is not happy pride, maybe. This is not gay pride month. This is gay shame month, because it is a shame that this production is in the ether at all. But, yeah. So one, subtitles not very good. Two, this show is a slog. It is quite boring, if I'm gonna be very, very honest. I wish it wasn't. Obviously, I want to be entertained when I watch a program such as this. But I, like, there are reasons as to why it's a slog. When you watch, like, a reality show, especially if it's, like, a romance-centered reality show, there's a lot of factors to consider in order to make it entertaining, right? You have a bunch of people going onto this program. Usually they are not people who are very used to making reality television, and so they're gonna act a particular way, especially if they're being asked to interact with strangers and to talk about subjects that are very, very vulnerable and make them have to experience an intensity of emotions. A lot of the times, usually people are not being fed very well when they are filming the series. They are not resting very well when they're filming the series, because they have to do, like, a bunch of activities, and they have to, like, film confessionals and whatnot. Most of their day is dedicated to actually working. And then, of course, the producers are gonna try to load you up with booze, so you might be more accidentally a little bit more vulnerable to doing or saying things that are kind of impulsive. And of course, producers of the program, they're looking for a very specific type of person to come on to the show, right? They gotta have, like, a certain mindset that fits their goals for the program. After everything has been filmed, producers, editors, writers, directors can take anything that has been recorded and slice it up and put it together to make a coherent narrative and story. That is how reality television is made. I'm talking about this for ages since I've been talking about reality television on Typically Tuesdays, which hasn't been very long. I've only been making the show for a handful of years. And even with all that, even with all of those things, you know, the drunken shenanigans, the heightened emotions, the people that come onto the program who have interesting standards for their life, even then, this show was boring as heck. I'm pretty sure. It was boring, one, because of the scandal that happened. Shortly after week one of the episodes were released, they released them at two episodes at a time on the Crane streaming platform called Wave, I believe. Shortly after those episodes were released, somebody had disclosed essentially that a cast member named Divan used to be a sex worker. She was a cam girl for a number of years. She was also a high-end escort. And this really upset audiences. There is really intense anti-sex work stigma in Korea, and at the same time, lesbian audiences were really upset because the person who had done this irreparable harm to disclose these details about Divan's life, this person made claims essentially that Divan is not even interested in women, period. Because look at the clientele that she served. She was like dating straight men, and as well, she was making content for men. Instead of maybe, here is where the irresponsibility of the producers begin to show itself. Instead of questioning why somebody would share such personal things about Divan's life without her consent to such a wide audience in order to defame her and to put her into a place of where she's vulnerable to intense harassment, the production company ended up seemingly resolving this issue by cutting out as many scenes of Divan from the show as possible. Divan had to come out with her own statement stating, yes, indeed, she did work in the sex industry. She was a cam girl. She was an escort. But in that time, she did not do any sex work that was considered illegal in Korea. And additionally, the reason why this person would make claims that she is actually not attracted to women is because she spent many years dating men because of her shame around her sexual orientation. Now, before she applied on the series, as she claims, she was in a relationship with an abusive man who had threatened to out her and at many times threatened her physical safety as well. In order to come out on her own terms, she applied to be on the show, then she cut her relations with this man, and this person has now decided to defame her by sharing this intensely personal information without her consent to the world. She's taking legal action against this person, but unfortunately, hereafter, we don't know much about her situation. She has not been very highlighted on the program. A lot of her scenes were cut. And she also has not gotten to experience the positive attention around being on the show. So she's not in any of these photo shoots. She's not in any of these interviews for mainstream publications at all. So one incredibly upsetting and sad to hear about on Typically Tuesdays. As you know, we are pro-sex work. We recognize that sex work exists on a spectrum and that sex work is a form of work. It is the oldest profession in the world. And unfortunately, despite the fact that many people use sex worker services, the actual workers themselves, due to the high stigma around sex work, sex workers are vulnerable to threats to their safety from clients, and even in the tamest of cases, sex workers are not treated like workers. They do not often get steady gigs. They are not people who often get benefits with their work and labor. At Typically Tuesdays, you know, we try to recognize these things to basically say, like, hey, treat sex workers with respect and care, because they offer a service that many people want, basically. And it's a hard job. But what's even harder is knowing the amount of hate and harassment that this cast member is getting because of information about her past that was shared without her consent and that is also highly stigmatized. What has happened after that, seemingly, is that members of the cast are also taking their stances on it and openly denouncing her and their relationships with her, and even in some cases, unfortunately, contributing to a lot of the stigma around her past, making claims that she was trying to also lure them into this shady industry. Throughout all of it, I'm wondering, where is the support that has been given to Diwan for her to maybe take legal action against her abuser, to take legal action around people who are sending libel and slander about her? Where is the support for her to get counseling services and to figure out her own mental health at this time? How is production making sure that she is able to stay safe and to some extent healthy during a time that is very, very challenging and difficult? They refuse to stand with her. They are showing that they truly have no backbone at all for this issue that is actually quite nuanced. Diwan, I believe, actually didn't do anything illegal. She was working in a form of sex work that is stigmatized but is not criminalized. And as I understand it, based on her statements, she turned to sex work because of financial instability. All of those things that I mentioned before, you know, potential legal action, and like mental health services and all that, that requires money. And the fact that like this production is now like, we're gonna cut out any potential employment opportunities for you from now on because you're no longer going to be exposed on the show, is really heartbreaking. It is irresponsible and neglectful, and yeah, I really do wish that the producers had some backbone to reach out and to offer support in the ways that they could to a person who they hired to be on their production. And all of this, unfortunately, also really impacts